And I've got to say, it's an absolute pleasure and privilege to have this lady on our show this morning. Erika Yamasaki is now heading to Tokyo. She was named in the weightlifting team yesterday, our biggest team since Sydney 2000. You're now an Olympian, Erika. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's so exciting to be a part of the team.
It's been a long journey, hasn't it? You've been on your ups and downs. You've been part of this sport for the best part of 20 years. Tell me how the process worked in terms of getting the official selection and the reaction, who you told and who you shared it with.
It's been an absolute terrible roller coaster ride, to be honest. So, I mean, our qualification started in November 2018. So it's been a really long process, and we had all these different criteria that we needed to meet. Like, for example, we had to compete in 6 competitions over a set, like 3 periods, so that each weightlifter could be available for doping testing. So for athletes like myself, in the countries that are very clean with doping, it was actually something really good in the way that it kept it the sport clean. However, it made it really difficult because it meant we had to be competing at a high level constantly throughout the qualifying period. And then obviously when COVID hit, it then extended this period out again. And I mean, like, just before COVID, I'd just done my 5th event, and I'd basically secured a position in the 55 kilo class at that stage. So I was feeling really confident. And then when the pandemic hit, it kind of went, oh, like, I just can't imagine the Olympics going ahead. So it was then, you know, a lot of excitement followed by a lot of devastation. So it's been a really tough journey, but to finally get to the other end and be, like, you know, about a month out, it's starting to get really exciting now. So all I can do is keep training hard and hope for the best.
What does it mean to you to be an Olympian? Because once you're an Olympian, you're always an Olympian. It'll be with you forever. Now, obviously, you're focused on what's going to happen in Tokyo, but have you taken a moment to sit back and just think about what that means for you?
I mean, I suppose it's been something that I've been dreaming about since I was a young kid. And like seeing the athletes competing on TV, I always, you know, just thought about, you know, how the dedication, the hard work, all the sweat and tears that they've put into the sport, and they're just the pinnacle of their sport field. And I guess to be a part of that is just unreal. I think it's maybe when I'm standing on the stage at the Olympics, it might finally hit. But I think just because of, you know, just this crazy moment, like, it's just been constant unknowns through this process since the pandemic started. So I don't know, maybe it will hit afterwards. I'm just not sure, like, but I know that it's just something that, like, everyone strives to get to, and it's just the pinnacle of sport. So I feel really blessed to be a part of it. I never thought that, I mean, I thought after Rio that would have been my last chance of ever going. So 5 years later, I really thought I'd be too old to keep progressing and to get to this level. So I'm just so happy to be a part of it.
You know what we should do? We'll put a date in our diary to have a chat with you when you come back, because I think, you know, when you've represented Australia at your level for such a long time, you've seen green and gold left, right and centre, but I want to know what it's like. And we'll do this after you come back from Tokyo, what it's like to put that Olympic tracksuit on. But can we go all the way back? So you're in year 8. Yep. And you end up in a gym, and you're introduced to weightlifting for the first time. I love this quote that I read while I was doing my research about this. The only bars I'd ever known, you said, were the uneven bars in gymnastics. Your dad was a gymnast. The handlebars on my bike, and the many chocolate bars I'd consumed over time. That's just awesome.
Yeah. It's like when they first came to the school, they were really interested in my brother. He did really well. And it just so happened that I was walking outside the playground as they were still doing their thing inside the room. And they're like, oh, that's his sister. Let's get her in here. And so I had a go, and I was weighing a tiny. I was like, what did I weigh? I was like 34 point something kilos, and I ended up lifting 35 kilos. So they were, the coach that was there was extremely excited that I actually lifted my body weight the first time I touched the bar. And honestly, like, I'd never even heard of weightlifting, never seen it. And of all things, like, I, you know, being a young child, I always imagined that, you know, gymnast doing fancy skills and in my leotard, and it was just completely different to what a weightlifter is. So, and I mean, especially, and even these days, like, you know, what people think of a weightlifter is completely different to what we are. So you always picture the big super heavyweights, but yeah, it's all weight class. It was just something that I never thought I'd get into. And I'm just so lucky that it kind of stumbled upon me, and I happen to be really gifted at it. And I'm just really glad that I found it, because otherwise I would never have had any of these opportunities at all. But if you asked me back then that, you know, could I imagine this, I definitely would have said no. And I probably would have said, oh no, weightlifting's boring, I'm not doing that.
So then there's that girl who goes from year eight being introduced to this all the way to today. Along the way, you set multiple national records, some 15 national records. You've been to 3 Commonwealth Games. You collected bronze at 2006. And you are the first and only female in Australia to clean and jerk double your body weight. So in the 53-kilogram class, you've lifted 106 kilograms. Just take us into the mindset and the physical part of that, just how difficult it is to try and do that.
Well, one of the first things that I probably should note is that, like, since I started, it really wasn't common for women to be a part of the sport. So what I saw the other women doing was completely different to the experience I was going through. So I was really competing against myself for the majority of it. And so I was kind of just making my own journey, not having a lot of guidance in the possibilities of what I could do. So I suppose with that in mind, like, trying to sort of hit these achievements, like, when I started getting close to the 106, it didn't really hit me until, you know, I was probably doing probably around like the 105 mark. Like, I didn't really think about it being double my body weight. And so when people started talking about it actually freaked me out even more, because it, you know, became such a big ordeal, and, you know, everyone in Australia was really excited about it. And so the pressure got to me, and it took me about a year to finally put it on a platform. But it was, yeah, like, I kind of feel like I just hope that, you know, I guess I didn't have that person to look up to, or those sort of dreams that, like, I just couldn't vision it myself. So I kind of, or I couldn't see it myself. So I had to vision it in my mind. And so I just hope that I can motivate and encourage other women in Australia to kind of, you know, push themselves to the limit and see what they are capable to do. Because, I mean, you just don't know what you can do. And even though, you know, you don't have to see someone else do something to be able to do it yourself.
Sport's never just about the highs, is it, Erica? And you know this. Just take us to what happened after missing out on the 2016 Rio Games, after not going there. And then it got quite hard for you on a number of levels, didn't it?
It did. So, like, I was just before the qualification period started for Rio. That was just when I hit that double body weight, and I was sitting quite in a really good position to get the Olympic spot. We were only able to send one female at a time, so you really just had to be the best in Australia. And during the qualification period, I think I just pushed myself a little bit too hard, where it just got to a point where my body was breaking. So I had, you know, I ruptured 2 discs in my back with an additional 3 bulging discs, which was causing a lot of pain. And then I also dropped the bar on my knee, which I've got really high bone density, so it didn't break the bone, but I ended up with a huge hematoma, which was more painful than my back. So that that was just constant issues with being able to keep my leg strength up. So I had to try to drop body weight. And then at the end, I didn't do what I had to make the team to get ahead. And so, of course, like, you know, especially thinking that was my last opportunity, I just felt like I just let myself down, let everyone else down, like my coaches, everyone that's been there helping me. And so I did struggle a lot with mental health after that, and I found it really difficult to find the support that I needed. So it was just a really dark moment for me. And then on top of that, I had like a lot of issues with my personal life. So my ex-husband, that was like just a really, it was a really bad relationship. A lot of coercive control, which is, I guess, when you're in that position, you don't really understand or you don't really see it. And then it really took an outsider's perspective to say, hey, you know, like that's, what's going on in that relationship really isn't okay. And then I had to find that courage to decide that I didn't want to be in that position anymore either. And so that was then something else that I dealt with after the, you know, unsuccessfully getting to the Olympics. And so, yeah, 2017 ended up being really dark, even to the point of being suicidal and just not feeling like I really wanted to continue in this life. And, you know, looking back at that now, I was lucky enough to find the help that I really needed. So I had, I guess, a team of medical staff that were really able to help me see that, you know, things don't have to be like that. And they just had me holding on for about a year and a half, and then finally started being able to, I guess, live life again, just trying to, you know, find myself again. Mm-hmm. And without them, I would never have gotten to this stage. And, you know, I'm so grateful now that I wasn't successful in doing anything bad. And because, yeah, honestly, I'd never imagined that I'd be here. Never imagined that I'd get to the Olympics or overcome those hurdles that I've had to. And, you know, it's something that I know a lot of people have to deal with and have to go through. And, you know, if I could just hope that, you know, something like this can happen to other people or help them realize that it may feel really dark now, but all you need is that helping hand. You just need to keep holding on and things will come through again for you. And, you know, a close friend of mine had a similar situation, Hannah Clark. She went through a lot of coercive control in her relationship, and unfortunately it didn't end up well. So she was a part of the in Brisbane where the husband murdered the three children and his wife, and then murdered himself. That was that scenario. So yeah. It's all very close to my heart, and I know that it's something a lot of people deal with. So, I just wish that, you know, everyone can see that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, if I did make any bad decisions, I wouldn't be here where I am now at all.
Yeah, the end of the tunnel certainly is shining bright for you as you head towards Tokyo. I'm looking at a photo of you that you've posted on Insta, and behind on the wall as you're about to attempt a lift are the words strong, determined, relentless, and I think that sums it up beautifully. Erica, I can tell you why we've been talking. Our listeners have been texting in What a cracking young lady. We wish her all the best in Tokyo. I'm sure she'll do herself proud. That's from Murph. And Mark says Erica is quite simply an inspiration. So we appreciate the fact that you've given us your time this morning. We congratulate you on getting through the journey that you've been on, and we wish you all the very best in Tokyo. And we will put a date in the diary. We're talking to you when you come home.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Our pleasure having you, and all the very best in Tokyo at the Olympic Games. Erica Yamasaki, make sure you follow her throughout the Games. We'll be covering it here on 1170 SEN. We need to take a break with the 10:30 news upon us as well.